Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you for this hour up until the 8 o'clock hour, and that is when Sports Insider comes your way. Don't forget, we got NFL action coming your way later today here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Houston Texans, New York Jets, 4 o'clock pregame, 4:30 kickoff, and then tonight, Cleveland Browns and Denver Broncos, 8 o'clock pregame, 8:20 is the kickoff time for that game. As promised, Coach Jeff Collins, new head football coach at Georgia Tech, spent some time with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas on the morning show talking about his vision for Georgia Tech. He's really upbeat, really excited to be back close to home. And that's the one thing that Hugh Douglas asked him, what went into his decision to come back to Georgia?
Well, I mean, this is home, obviously. And, you know, I've been here twice. I was with Coach O'Leary and I was with Coach Gailey back in the day and just had such a great time here. The education, the atmosphere, being in downtown Atlanta, there's so much to sell, so much history in this place, you know, and obviously, again, it's home. So it was a tough decision because I was leaving a good football team, a really great football team with a bunch of guys I truly loved and cared about. But, you know, when you have a chance to come home in this career, you know, you got to take that opportunity when it presents itself.
Jeff Collins is the new head football coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. He's joining John here this morning as he's out recruiting. Coach, if I could, for the benefit of the audience out there that are our audience and 92 in the game, if you could kind of take me back. I know you were born out in Conyers. Kind of walk me through. You went to Western right. Carolina. Tell me about the early life of Jeff Collins and what you went through.
we'll go all the way back. I was born in DeKalb Memorial Hospital and raised on Columbia Drive, just east of Atlanta in Decatur. And, you know, that's where my mom went to Columbia High School. She was, for a while, she was the all-time leading scorer in the basketball program at Columbia High School. Dad ran track. He actually ran track at Georgia. And then when little Jeff Collins came along, he transferred and finished up his career running at Georgia State. My uncle ran track here at Georgia Tech. So, you know, all the, you know, major colleges in Georgia, we've been represented throughout our family. But, you know, went to high school in Conyers, Georgia, Rockdale County High School, and, you know, then went to Western Carolina University, met my wife, and, you know, I told the story in the press conference, and I fell in love with her at love at first sight. She fell in love with me once she found out I was from Atlanta. you know, we've had a great run. We've been married 23 years. It's actually our anniversary, our 23-year anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Said that. Yeah, so that reminded me I got to send some stuff back to Philadelphia. So glad that just came up. But had a great career. Been, you know, at Georgia Tech twice, like I said. Been at the University of Alabama. Been at Mississippi State for 4 years. Had a really good run there. The last year I was there, we were number one in the country for 10 weeks. You know, Dak Prescott was the quarterback. And then I went to the University of Florida for 2 years. Played in the SEC championship game both years. I was the defense coordinator at Florida. And then was blessed to have the opportunity to be the head coach at Temple. And, you know, we had a great run there, coached some amazing young men, and really had a great culture. And I'm excited to be able to build that, you know, here in Atlanta.
So, Coach, would you consider yourself more of an offensive-minded coach or defensive-minded?
Well, I've been a defensive coordinator in the SEC for 7 years. And so I've made my, you know, made my name on the defensive side of the ball. But we do some cool stuff offensively. And I think two of the top offenses in Temple history were the years that we were there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do an Elite Eight every single week. I go into the offensive staff. Here are the eight plays that I want to run. Pretty unique, crazy formations, crazy shifts that I know will give defensive coaches a hard time. And they run those Elite Eight, sprinkle them throughout the game. And, you know, they're a lot of fun. We shift offensive linemen to the sideline. We create different pods. We do wildcat stuff with that. And, just try to be creative and have fun with it.
So, Coach, you know the kind of offense that was ran, what Coach Johnson ran here at Georgia Tech.
Sure.
And my question to you is, because with the players that you have right now, how long is it going to take you to kind of transition your players, if that's the case, to your new style of offense?
Yeah, the big thing is just taking, you know, we've got a very multiple offensive scheme. You know, we're spread, but we'll do some pro-style stuff. We run a lot of option out of our package with our wildcat stuff and when we play our running quarterback. But we're very multiple. But the big thing I've learned a long time ago, it's not about scheme. It's about players. Every single thing that we do in this organization is going to be about the players. So So we have 13 running backs that are on scholarship here at Georgia Tech. So we've got to take what we've inherited and put these young men in the best position to play at a high level, to win a lot of games. And the biggest thing for me is I want to develop them for life after college. And the kind of men that we're going to bring into this program, the kind of recruits we're going to bring in, hopefully that life after college piece will start in the NFL. So we want to prepare them every single day for life after college, play in the NFL. And the beautiful thing, too, is once their NFL career is over, they've got an awesome degree from this great institution that's going to help them in life and help them with connections and be very successful in every single phase. But I do understand in the recruiting piece, you've got to make sure that the guys are developed and they can play play at the next level. We want to put them in a scheme that allows that.
All right. So, if I can, because I just want to get some clarity here, Coach. You know, you talk about Hugh's question, you know, and the transition is spot on. So eventually, what will a Jeff Collins offense look like? A pro style
multiple,
or what?
Well, just, yeah, no, everything that we do is multiple.
Okay.
If you watch NFL,
right.
You know, you watch the Rams, you watch the Bears, you watch that great game last night between the Chiefs and the Chargers. You know, it's multiple. You know, they're running zone read now in the NFL. They're throwing RPOs in the NFL. So spreading the field when you need it, when you need to. Get athletes out in space. And then when it's time to play big boy ball and you need to pound it, you've got to have the ability to do that. There are no tight ends on this roster. So I don't think there's been a tight end at Georgia Tech in 11 years. And so we're trying to be very creative because that is a big part of our package. So finding a tight end, whether it be currently on the roster, obviously through the recruiting piece, and we're actively doing that. But, you know, the players that we have, we will fit the scheme based on the talents that we have on our roster. So from year to year, and it's the same way in the NFL, from year to year, what your scheme is going to look like is going to be different based on the players that you have. And so we have really good coaches that I'll announce after signing day that'll come in here and put these young men in the best possible position so they have success individually and they have success as a team.
So Coach, you sound real excited about this opportunity at Georgia Tech, so I can hear it in your voice. You're not deterred at all about the difficulties, potential difficulties in signing certain kids that, you know, potentially want to be engineers. And you're not even worried about that, huh?
Coach, I'm fired up, man. I said this in the press conference. Every single thing about Georgia Tech I see is an advantage. Smart people make smart decisions. And so we're going to be able to recruit a high level of young man that values academics, that wants to play at a high level of ball. You go out around the country, there are great students that want a great education and are great athletes. And I don't think you should ever short sell how vital that is, you know, setting young men up for a future, setting themselves up for 40 years of a career and play some big time ball in the process. And that gets me fired up.
So Coach, it's safe to say that your coaching staff, the whole coaching staff, they won't be using red pens as well.
I learned that a long time ago when I was here with George O'Leary. There was no red in the building. And the funny thing is, even when we went down to UCF and I was with him in Orlando for 2 years, that we had no rival or anybody in our league that even wore red, but you still, with George O'Leary, weren't allowed to wear any red around the UCF facility as well. So, you know, he's one of my mentors. You know, I think the world of him, and I'm so blessed that I got to be at Georgia Tech in my, you know, Division I career started here, you know, under his guidance. And we had some great coaches. Ralph Regan was here. Billy O'Brien was here. And I just learned a lot from those great coaches.
Well, I tell you what, Coach, you got me excited. I can't wait to see T-Day now. I'm excited to see what this is going to look like. I really
yes,
am.
Yeah, Jeff Collins is the new head coach at Georgia Tech. He joins John and Hugh. A couple of quick questions, if I may, Coach. I know you're recruiting, but I appreciate the time this morning. Will you be going to the bowl game in Detroit? And how do you interact with the players, you know, try to get to know them without getting in the way right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been burning the road out recruiting, trying to put together the staff or putting together the staff. So I haven't been around them a lot because I've been on the road so much, but have developed some good relationships. We've got a text thing going with the team. So I've been texting the guys. Tomorrow, or actually this afternoon, will be the first practice that I'll have gone to. So I'm excited to see them in action. And, you know, I don't want to discount I'm so excited to watch Paul Johnson coach in person. Such a great deal of respect for him and what he's done in his career, what he's done here at Georgia Tech. And, you know, I'm excited to watch him coach. And then I will be in Detroit. So the day after Christmas we play, I'm going to fly up to Detroit, and I'm setting up a visit for all of our players' families that come up to Detroit to see the game. I'm going to set up a window that I get to visit with the families, so they get to know me. I get to shake their hands, look them in their eyes, because I'm going to be coaching them during the winter conditioning program starting in January, and just want to make sure I start building relationships with our players' families as well. And then obviously watch the game, and then we get back in January, and it's on.
All right, what have you seen on film? You're a defensive guy. We see this team's got, there's individual talent on defense. What do you see on defense that excites you, and what kind of, they switched obviously to a 3-4 this year. What kind of base defense will you play, and what are you seeing for some of the guys?
Well, the same thing people have seen, Jeff Collins' defense over the last 7 years, being at Mississippi State, being at Florida, and then, implementing our package at Temple. We move around from four down to three down, and we're very multiple. But the big thing with us is we play tight coverage across the board. I think over the last 7 years, we've been one of the top pass defenses in America. And so we play tight coverage. There's no room to breathe on the perimeter. We get extra hats into the box. We're very aggressive. We're very multiple. And the big thing, too, is we play an NFL-style defense, so the guys can showcase their talent. Ooh. As it translates to the next level. So when you turn on the Falcons defense or the Seahawks defense or any the NFL defenses, most of the time the middle of the field is closed. That's the same thing with us. We're going to change the coverage, but most of the time there will be somebody in that deep middle of the field and get an extra hat in the box, and we're playing tight, aggressive coverage. But you'll see a bunch of guys flying around, playing with a relentless effort, high level of care, and a tremendous amount of energy and juice.
Blitzing, you're going to be doing a lot of blitzing too, Coach? You blitz on rundowns, Coach?
Coach, it's coming from everywhere, anywhere.
Ooh, you just gave me goosebumps when you said, I cannot wait to see this. I cannot wait to see it.
And I appreciate it. I only have one more question. If I could take you over here for just a second, Coach, because you're uniquely qualified to answer this, I think. You coached at Temple, had great success over the last couple of years in Philadelphia.
Sure.
You did coach at one time at UCF. You've coached a team that went to number one in the nation in Florida and Mississippi State.
Yep.
Central Florida, how would they fare in a playoff last year, this year? The teams that you saw, how would they fare in terms of, because the expansion playoff talk is everywhere. How would they fare if there were an 8-team playoff? Would they be able to stand toe-to-toe with some of the big teams?
I think they're a great program. And you look individually, just talent-wise, they've got great players. They've got tremendous speed. And the thing that even more resonates that is, Scott Frost leaves, did a great job at UCF, and he goes to Nebraska. Josh Heupel comes in, and they're able to replicate that success. So that tells you what quality players that exist on that roster. If they had gotten a chance to get in, they would have played at a very high level and a very competitive. Obviously, I can't predict what would happen, but I can say this from all the stops that I've been at, and all the teams that I've played against over the years, of the great ones, they are a great team.
That is Coach Jeff Collins, new head football coach at Georgia Tech, spending time with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas on the morning show, laying out his vision for Georgia Tech football. It's going to look a little different, folks. That's what he's saying, and he is out pounding the pavement, looking for recruits to come in and join the players that are there and make a difference. And we'll see what happens when they roll out on the field. I'm like Hugh Douglas. I'm looking forward to T-Day. I'm looking forward also to kicking off at 12 noon of the College Bowl season. First game of the bowl season coming up at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Jay Harris, ESPN, coming up next. Going to talk about the Celebration Bowl. When you stay with us on this game day Saturday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you, working our way to the top of the hour. And that's when Dan Kamal, the Sports Insider, will come your way. And this day has had a little rain on the outside, a little cloudy, a little foggy. It'll lift hopefully later on today as people get set to head over to Mercedes-Benz Stadium to kick off the start of the College Football Bowl season. And the first game has been the custom for the past 3 years, now the fourth year. The first bowl game is played here in Atlanta. The Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl will have the North Carolina A&T Aggies against the Alcorn State Braves. And the guy who's in town for it, he always comes in town and has a lot of fun. It's great to catch up with him. Jay Harris of ESPN joins us now on the waitfor.com hotline. Jay, good morning to you.
Morning, Sam. How you doing, brother?
Great to always talk to you. You always seem to land in town this time of year, so it's always good to catch up with you. Talk about being in town for this particular matchup and what this game has come to represent.
The pinnacle, the best of the best in black college football, crowning a champion for HBCUs. Honestly, it's almost become the A&T Bowl because they keep coming down here so much in the last 4 years. But I'm really looking forward to this matchup because it's a matchup or rematch of the first game. And that was a thriller out of the box, especially with Tariq Cohen's performance. A&T got the best of Alcorn that day, but it was tight and back and forth. And this, I'm really looking forward to this matchup.
As am I, Jay. I think it's going to be a close ball game between two teams. You're right. It is the best of the best. And, you know, two programs, like before they appeared in the inaugural celebration bowl, two programs that were at the lowest depths in kind of the history of their football programs. And now being in the Celebration Bowl really represented something for those two teams. To me, they've been like a model for some of the HBCU programs, what they can do and what is possible, getting the right types of coaches, getting the right type of recruits to come in and attracting those recruits. And it's been big for both universities, too.
Yeah, I agree. And you can see it on the players' faces, and you can see it in their demeanor. I mean, this is the fourth installment of this game, and I've been to each one, and I watch these guys host a lot of events leading up to the game, and the way they walk around, and the trophy is always there, and they see the trophy, and they realize that we're playing for the championship. This is a big deal, and gradually over the years, that feeling has gotten stronger and stronger, and you can really see it in the players leading up to the game, and definitely during the game.
That does take place. Spend some time with Jay Harris this morning from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Harris, ESPN, ESPN in all capital letters. Jay, talk about the fact that these teams choose to come here, these conferences send their champion to this game rather than the playoffs. And a lot of people felt, especially with the start of the season that North Carolina A&T got off to, they caught a lot of national attention. They beat Jacksonville State, a perennial national powerhouse in FCS. And then they turn around the next week and they beat East Carolina, a D1 team. And Coach Washington said, I want my check. He got a check for beating East Carolina. But talk about the fact that these conferences still send their top teams and are committed, really are, to coming to this game.
I think it speaks to the conference rivalry, the ACC-SWAC. I think it speaks to the feeling surrounding this. I mean, when it started, it was built to be a national championship game, and there's something special about that. We have the College Bowl playoff, four teams, and there's still debate. There's still, who should be in the top four? Who should be? There's no debate with this. You win your way here. You earn your way here. You play your opponent. You are the champion. There's absolutely no debate. And there's an allure to that.
There really is. There really is. And I think the allure also draws in some recruits. I think some players see this game, see the caliber of play, the quality of play. The teams are well coached. They do a little research as kids today. Go to the Google machine for everything. And they find out
the other things
that these universities have to offer. A&T's enrollment has had a bump in their freshman class every year they played this game.
That is true. I mean, yeah, why wouldn't you want to go to that university? You see them showcased on national television on ABC at noon Eastern. You see a great product on the field, and you go, wow, North Carolina A&T. I wonder what else they have to offer. And they found out it's a wonderful university, so people want to go. So, yeah, this is a great recruiting tool for all the teams that have played in this game, but, again, especially for A&T because they keep coming back down here to play.
And they brought a big crowd with them. I didn't say they sold out all their tickets. And I was over by the team hotel yesterday and ran into a lot of people. I worked and lived in Greensboro for a number of years. So I saw some familiar faces. I'm going to see some more over there at the game today. So I'm looking forward to it. It's always a great time. But while we have you here, we know where we normally see you in the mornings on ESPN. And, of course, we're winding down a sports year that we've seen so many great stories. And to me, a great one was the one that we saw here with Tiger Woods over at Eastlake, with the tour championship. But we want to get you, if you want to run down, if you have, I don't know if you keep a list of the five, if you keep changing your list or what. What do you think of the top five sports stories for this year from your perspective?
Man, that's tough. Because it's really tough because it keeps changing. It goes from okay, we an event to a game, to an individual. All right, I think LeBron going to the Lakers is one of them. That's just me, because he's the best player on the planet, changing teams and recalibrating his entire life. Let me see. When the Supreme Court legalized sports gambling.
Yeah. What you think about that?
It's about time, because it's not going to go away, so we might as well try and do something with it and regulate it so everybody can enjoy and play along. Some of these states have jumped on it and said, yes, I'm in. I'm not a gambler per se, but I understand it and I get it. So, I mean, I think it just made sense to me.
What do you think of an event like the Field versus Tiger, where in the event you can gamble while the event's going on? What do you think of something like that?
That's fine with me. It's difficult for me to really get into the nuts and bolts because it's just not. I've never been a gambler.
Yeah,
but there's no harm in it to me. What about you? What do you think?
I think it's the tip of the iceberg. The thing with Phil and Tiger. I think not all events set up for that, but I think going forward we're going to see a lot more events that set up for in event betting that people can bet on event as it goes on, and I think match play golf sets up well for that.
True, and I like their going back and forth too, and betting against each other. It made that event a lot more enjoyable for me. That was they kept upping the ante and upping the stakes. That was cool.
Yeah, that was.
I go back to the NCAA tournament when UMBC beat Virginia 16-1 for the first time ever.
Right.
That was really, really cool. I like hockey. I love the Vegas Golden Knights story. And let me think. We'll finish it in NFL with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
Okay, a lot of
so
people,
far, and I can. We've got a couple days left. That could change.
Well, a lot of people took a big sigh of relief when you said that, and you didn't. You avoided a certain event with a guy named Saban coming to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, not once but twice this year. We're glad you didn't mention either one of them.
I didn't do that strategically, but you're welcome.
We appreciate you sparing us that this morning. Spending some time on the waitfor.com hotline with Jay Harris of ESPN. Always great to have him in town. He's in town for the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl. And, of course, you know, over at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, we're counting down to the Super Bowl. We got the Super Bowl this year. We were hoping that our Falcons would be there. Not going to happen. We've been watching some teams that are kind of emerging as the likely favorites. Do you want to take a gander, or take a shot at what you think the matchup may be that we will see here for the Super Bowl?
No.
No?
I do not.
Why not?
No. Because it keeps changing. It keeps changing. The Saints are rolling. The Saints aren't rolling. Here come the Cowboys. The Chiefs lose to the Chargers. The Rams have some injuries. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, people here
I have
in town,
no idea what's going to happen. I'm just enjoying this ride.
People in town here don't want to see the Saints come and play. Not in our building. I mean, for the Super Bowl, my goodness. And you make sure
that would be horrible.
You make sure
that for folks here, but it'd be great for the New Orleans.
Yeah, you know, we don't want them here because we have Stan Verrett coming to town. We don't want Stan Verrett in town. You know, he is a big Saints fan. We don't want him coming to town for that. But we're waiting to see. Of course, we're going to put on a great show here in town. That's what we do here in Atlanta. And people
absolutely. That's why this game is here. That's why the MEAC Slack Challenge is here. You book in the season with the MEAC Slack Challenge and the Celebration Bowl. Atlanta, the A is the spot to be, you know?
It is that. And like you said, oddly enough, Alcorn State was here to open the season. They opened the season at Georgia Tech, and they're back to finish the season. And that's what happened when they came the last time. They kicked off the season here against Georgia Tech and ended up back to playing the inaugural Celebration Bowl. So they're back here.
Hopefully they have a better day today than they did that day.
Yep. That's what we're watching to see, and hope the folks will come out. There's still tickets available. People can still come out and enjoy. Great football game, great halftime show, well-played game, and just two great universities, and just fun and fellowship that you can only get at HBCU Game Day Experience.
Agreed. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Looking forward to seeing you over there in just a little while, Jay. Thanks so much for the time this morning. Tell L. Duncan, tell our homegirl L. Duncan we said hello.
I will do that.
We look forward to seeing you in just a few hours as we get set to play this football game.
Actually, I think Elle is on television right now, so we could all tune in to SportsCenter.
Is she working? We got her working this morning.
Yeah.
We got mom working. She's a new mom. We got mom working.
Yes, we do. She loves it.
Yes, she does. We're real proud of her. Thanks so much, man. I'll see you in just a little while over the bench.
Yes, sir.
All right. That is Jay Harris from ESPN joining us and tells us about who he thinks his top sports stories are for the year. And he managed not to mention the Alabama appearances in Mercedes-Benz, but did pick out some events he thought were really big and of his list of top fives. And we may get into that. You know, we're going to do our top fives before the year winds down. Myself and Greg, we'll see what his top fives are. We go Bo on the other side of the glass. He's all excited. He got New Orleans Saints stuff on now. Is that division championship? Where'd you find that?
This is the...
What is that?
2018 NFC South Division Championship shirt, back to back.
Where on earth did you
find it? So for the last 2 years, I've actually been home in Louisiana on the day that they clinched.
Okay.
So I was able to grab gear off the shelf as soon as they put it out right after the football game.
Oh, look at you. What
had to hook me and my boy AT up.
Oh, yeah. You know,
nobody wants
right?
to wait on the mail to bring it to us.
Yeah. He's Mr. New Orleans. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. Look at that thing. What's that repping? What does that say?
Repping the South.
Repping the South.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, gosh. Bo on the other side of the glass got his division championship wear on. Yeah, they won the division championship. But just like Jay Harris said, who's going to take the big step forward at the end? I mean, right now coming down the stretch and you're seeing a bunch of different teams that are playing great. And, you know, it's fun because all along it just looked like two or three teams were the clear – cut favorites, and now it's, you know, looking kind of wide open here toward the end.
That's the scary thing about having a team in it. I mean, I'd rather have them in position to advance rather than not. But yeah, any given Sunday, and nothing that's playing out just like that this season in the NFL.
Yeah,
you know, because the Cowboys are kind of scary.
Yeah,
you know, the Seahawks are playing better football right now. Don't count them out.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Like you said, Rams have been cruising along, and now they're getting a little bit of adversity. You know, with them, we still got to see what the real verdict will be as far as the Kansas City Chiefs going. I mean, losing their big running back, what that does for them going forward. We're going to talk a little bit more about the NFL and about the games we got coming up and getting us set for a Week 15 National Football League play that's coming up when you continue with us on this cloudy game day Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you leading up to the top of the hour. Dan Kamal, Sports Insider. Matter of fact, you'll be joining us here a little bit and we talk a little bit with Dan about previewing the show that he has coming up and talk about things that we have coming up as well. College basketball, we haven't talked about today. Georgia's home with a big game at 6 o'clock today. Georgia's hosting Arizona State over in Athens. That's a 6 o'clock start. Kennesaw State is home also this afternoon at 4 p.m. They're hosting Tennessee Tech. Georgia State is on the road. They're playing at number 25, Kansas State. A big opportunity for the Georgia State team. And by the way, you can hear that game on our cousin station downstairs and around the corner, 1380 AM WAOK. We had a Panther pregame show at 7:30, tip-off at 8 o'clock. Georgia State looking to take down another team from one of the big conferences. They have two wins over Southeastern Conference teams, opponents this year. They've beaten Georgia and they've beaten Alabama with a last-second buzzer beater a week ago. They came home and got a win over Chattanooga this week, and so they're continuing back on the road against Kansas. By the way, and something I had asked Mike Holmes, who's the associate athletic director for communications there, about how many miles this Georgia State team has traveled. And after this weekend's trip to Kansas State, Georgia State's basketball team will have traveled over 10,000 miles. Over 10,000 miles to start the season for the non-conference. That's a trip to Missoula, Montana, that I was a part of, to the Cayman Islands, New Orleans, Lynchburg, Virginia, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and today to Manhattan, Kansas. And back, that's 10,456 miles travel by the Georgia State basketball team. And that's before they get set for conference play. So he's taking on Kansas State Team ranked in the top 25. That's at 8 o'clock tonight. You can hear it on 1380 WAOK. Of course, today there's National Football League action going on. Games, you can hear those games here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You got Houston, Texas, Texans taking on the New York Jets. That's a 4 o'clock pregame with a 4:30 kick. And then the nightcap has the Cleveland Browns and the Denver Broncos, 8 o'clock pregame with a 8:20 kickoff for those two games around the NFL. And still a lot to play for. Those teams, still a lot to play for if you're with the Cleveland Browns and the Denver Broncos. Browns at 5-7-1. Broncos at 6-7. They're still trying to keep a little hope alive here in week 15 in the schedule. And we look to see what happens with those games. Don't look like they got any snow or anything out in Denver. Like it's going to be about 55 degrees, which is nice. That's balmy for out there this time of year. So, you know, if Cleveland plays that game. The Jets at 4-9, but the Texans at 9-4, closing in on wrapping up at that playoff spot. If they can go ahead and get the win, they're playing in the Meadowlands today, MetLife Stadium, that contest today. So the Texans at 9-4, the Jets at 4-9, that's coming up. Already one game been done for this week, and that was Thursday night. What a game it was. Chargers 29-28 winners over Kansas City. Two great quarterbacks, and a fantastic outcome. Chargers 11-3. And Dan Kamal, I'm gonna bring you in here. We've had a couple of some recently pretty interesting weeknight NFL games, and somehow the Chiefs are already seem to be involved in. They're just an exciting team to watch.
Yeah, I think Pat Mahomes, one of the great things that's happened in a positive way to the NFL recently. Yeah. I mean, he is off the charts exciting.
Yeah.
His athleticism is crazy.
Yeah.
See that one play where he kind of went backwards about 15 yards, cut to his right, looked like he was going to be brought down for a sack, waited till the last millisecond, and ditched an ugly-looking but very effective pass.
Yeah.
So he makes something out of nothing. He's just got that escapability, that instinct, that athleticism that's it's hard to find.
Yeah, rare. And, you know, he's the son of a major league pitcher. Just an outstanding athlete, player. A lot of people figure because he came out of the offensive scheme he came out of, Texas Tech. So, okay, he's going to be one of those running, you know, red gun things where you throw the ball a million times a game. You've seen a lot of those quarterbacks don't translate that well to the NFL game. He does, though. He does a remarkable job.
You know, it's funny. We're in the business of predicting, right? Sometimes we're right, not often. Sometimes we're wrong, pretty often. You don't see any of those columns anymore wondering why the KC Chiefs got rid of a serviceable Alex Smith to give the crown to Pat Mahomes. You don't see those anymore.
Not anymore. Long gone. Long gone.
It's like you don't see predictions of the Falcons playing at home in the Super Bowl.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Unfortunately,
Yeah, unfortunately. But we did have something to celebrate this week. You had an interesting vantage point of it all on Monday.
Yeah, I work, my other professional hat is over at CNN, and the World Sport newsroom is right there looking at that street behind CNN, which cuts to the old dome area into the Home Depot yard, the tailgate yard there. What's it called?
Home Depot backyard.
Backyard. So we saw the whole thing, the horses, the players, the trophy, the owner, the CEO, everybody. It was pretty impressive. Considering the weather, it was pretty impressive, the showing that Atlanta United fans gave us. They're proud of their team, and we should be proud of those fans because they've elevated Atlanta, I think, as a sports city.
I think it has, something that people didn't expect. Every time they open the door, they're breaking a record for attendance.
It's just so great to see. You know, the texture of the crowd, the diversity, the passion, the excitement, the loyalty, everything about it speaks of a really good sports fan and tangentially to a great sports city. They did Atlanta proud. They really did. The team and the fans.
And you know what I think this team is going to do that other teams have had trouble doing? This team is going to attract great players who will want to be here. You know, in the past, great players will want to come here, get them an off-season home, come to town, visit, have a good time and socialize, but they want to play someplace else. This team is different. This team, right from the bat, where else can these players go? play on a team that's going to be a competitor, going to be a winner, and play in front of 71,000
people. Yeah, for sure. You know, we're going to talk about that later in the Sports Insider with our money guy, Chris Burns. I think the Atlanta United, they've elevated the league itself as well. And we're going to talk about what kind of financial impact that could have for other franchises, because I think the whole perception of the MLS has changed. I mean, the ratings were up substantially for the final match. But the league itself, I think, has a better brand image now because a city as big as Atlanta, as strong as Atlanta, put forth that kind of team in just 2 years. I think it's the old tide is rising for the whole league effect.
And the idea that the attendance remained that way both before and during football season. A lot of people wondered when football season started, you know, how would the attendance be?
Yeah.
I remember last year, that was a weekend where I think Georgia played on a Saturday night, on a Saturday afternoon. Atlanta United played it, I think, Saturday night. And that Sunday, the next day, the Falcons played. And everything was packed.
Crazy.
So we can't do that.
Were you there for the first match ever at Bobby Dodd?
Not the first one. I was there for like the second one.
That's what blew me away. Bunch of people from work were going. I said, yeah, I'm in. So I went there, and all of a sudden I'm in the middle of these, whatever it was, 45, 50,000 people, all standing from the very get-go.
Yeah.
All boisterous in a good way, a positive way. And I thought, man, I'm not sure if this is a one-off or if this is something that's going to be really big, and thankfully it turned out to be really big.
That setting at Bobby Dodd Stadium was remarkable because you pull back in that backdrop, they're playing, and you got those skyscrapers in the background.
Yo, fantastic.
That was awesome, and just the whole feel you got there. I said, I hope they can maintain this feel and take it inside, and we don't lose it, and sure enough, they've been able to maintain it.
Remember when they were going to block off, you know, curtain off the upper level at the bends?
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, they may want to do that tomorrow, but they don't have to do it for United, which is crazy.
No.
Who would have thought?
I know it. Did not see that coming. A lot of things you see coming along the way for sports in this town. And I was there today over at Ventanas. I reminded Arthur Blank of that Saturday night when I was talking with him afterwards. I was there at Ventanas the day that they brought the franchise and awarded it to Atlanta. And I was there, and a lot of people were wondering, well, what are we going to do with soccer? How's that going to play here in town? And he talked about his vision, how we're going to adjust the seating for 45,000 for soccer and drop a curtain. And he's been able to raise that curtain and sell every ticket he could print, you know.
I didn't know Atlanta was such a soccer city. Did you?
No. But you know what? Certain things, I think, were just sitting there waiting to happen and ready to happen. It just had to have the right thing to push it. And you're seeing soccer all over the place now. The tip of the cap to organizations like Soccer in the Streets who are getting kids to play in the city of Atlanta, in Atlanta public schools. Soccer, the station soccer at the Martyr stations with the short fields at the Martyr station where people can go and play.
Absolutely.
And some of that stuff has been around. Now it's more apparent. Since the coming of Atlanta United, we see it. So some of those things were around already, but now it becomes really apparent when you have a team that comes in and wins the championship for your city.
Yeah, and now if we can I think every other team in the city has a chance to come back to the forefront as well. I think hopefully this is a one-off year for the Falcons. The Braves are trending up. I think there is a lot to be optimistic about. We're going to talk to Chris Vivlamore about the Hawks coming up in just a few minutes. I think, you know, when you see a guy like John Collins, you know who's really impressing me lately is Kevin Herter.
I was talking about him last night.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought that he might be. When
that
he came in,
I said,
this is the guy who's going to come off and be some instant offense, a big perimeter game, just what this team is going to need. And he has proven to be that 19 points at Boston Garden last night. That was
he
big.
Looks so good.
Yeah.
Trae Young's worrying me, I got to admit.
He's on and off. He's hot and cold. I mean, he's got to figure it out. He'll come back and have a big game next one. You know, we'll see. Hang on. You guys are getting ready to get started. All right, stay with us. We're going to come back, wrap up this show, hand it off to the Sports Insider. We continue on this game day Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.